All right, this morning I want to talk about the need to get rid of old things in order for new things to come in, better things to come in. So if you were to look in my closet, you would say Dave has plenty of clothes, right? You would look in my closet, there's a ton of clothes there. But I probably wear like a fifth of those clothes, maybe, because they're old, to be honest with you. Like a lot of them have stains on them. I've got a pair of khakis that like my keys have worn a hole in them. There's the permanent wallet mark on the back. And if you look at my closet, you're like, this closet is full. And yet I've done this. I've gone to my wife. I've been like, hey, honey, I need to go out shopping for some new clothes. She'll be like, what? What? Your closet's full. I'm like, yeah, but they're all old. She's like, why do you keep them? Like, I don't understand why you're keeping all these old clothes. You have no room for new clothes, even if you went to get them. I think one of the happiest days she's had since we've been married was the day she came home and I'm in my bedroom and there's like the keep pile over here and there's the get rid of pile over here. She's like, wow, you're doing it. There's now room for those new clothes that you need. I bring that up today because today we're going to talk about the parable of the new wineskins. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Mark 2, 21 through 22. It will also be up here on the board. So Mark 2, 21 through 22. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins. So the background to this parable is right in the middle of Jesus being questioned about why his disciples aren't fasting. So you look at the Pharisees are fasting. You look at John the Baptist and his disciples are fasting. And this is a sign of holiness. And people are looking at it and they're saying, these people are fasting, but Jesus, your disciples aren't fasting. Why aren't your disciples fasting? Now then, fasting was a sign of mourning. It was a sign of contrition for sins, for the wrongs that they had done before God, and they are in mourning over that. But Jesus is here and his disciples are with him now, and Jesus is bringing something new. He's saying the old way, we can't keep doing things the old way. The new is here. They're not compatible anymore. We cannot keep the status quo as it was and expect the new to change things. We have to get rid of the old so that the new comes in. I was typical little boy, I'd run around, tear holes in my jeans all the time. Like, I'd have a brand new pair, bam, there'd be holes in the jeans right away. My mom had, like, just, like, the huge stack of patches. She was just waiting for me to tear a hole. And she would sew up my jeans quite often with them. But if the patch and the jean wasn't the right material, the same material together, what happens is they shrink differently. And what would end up happening is when you put that new patch on, and it would shrink at a different rate than the rest of the pant would, you'd get that hole back. And that's what is being illustrated here. If you're wondering about wineskins, you would initially have wineskins and you would put new wine into it. And by new wine, I mean unfermented wine. It hadn't fermented yet. And so you would put it in the wineskin, and the wineskins, when they were new, were nice and pliable. They could expand, which is important because when you're fermenting something, gases are being released. And so those wineskins would bloat up for a time until the fermentation process was complete. But that fermentation process also makes the wineskins brittle. And so if you were to dump out that wine and have it all used and then try and use that new wineskin again, the elasticity it had when it was new is gone. And it can't stretch out. And so if you were to put new wine in that, as soon as it started to ferment and release those gases, instead of the wineskin expanding to accommodate for them, that wineskin would burst and it would be poured out. So Jesus is now comparing this to people, not to just wineskins, but to what he is bringing in, his kingdom arriving. It is new, and the old has to be done away with. We can't keep holding on to the old if we want the new. And this is true of the Christian life. We cannot keep holding on to the old things, the old way of living, if we want the new things and the new life that God has for us. We have to let go of the old. One thing I think people try, and they kind of think of Jesus sort of as an accessory, meaning that they're going to keep their old life. They're going to keep doing things exactly the old way, and Jesus is going to be this nice little piece that they add to it. So imagine I was in those old khakis I described earlier with the holes in the pocket from the keys, and I wore one of my button-up shirts with a stain on it, and I put on this brand new tie. You would be like, Dave, that's a nice tie, but the wardrobe still doesn't look good. It's old. It's ratty. Like, why would you wear that and just put a brand new tie on it? It doesn't change what you're in. So we can't think of Jesus as an accessory. It's just some new tie we're putting on to the old clothes. Jesus is a new wardrobe. He's a new, I like three-piece suits. He's a new three-piece suit that is pinstriped and a new shirt and a new belt and a new shoes. It's all new. When you accept Jesus, when you put your faith in Jesus, you're not taking a little bit of Jesus and adding him on as an accessory to your old way of life. The old way of life has to go. It must be done away with. The new has to be embraced wholesale. You can't keep the old. And so there are people who are frustrated in their walk as they keep trying to do things the old way and live the old way and just take a bit of Jesus here and a bit of Jesus there. And they say, my life isn't changing. Where is the new life? Where are the new things? I wanted new, but the old is still just here. Why is that? It's because they haven't fully embraced the new and gotten rid of the old. You guys know who Dave Ramsey is. He was describing some people. Dave Ramsey's a financial guru, right? He helps people get their finances in order. And he talked in his book of a family who their finances were just... they were in huge trouble. They were spending way more than they were making. And they had called into his show and told him everything that was going on, and he was like, you've got to stop. You have to change everything about the old way that you were thinking. The old way of money, how you thought about it, has got to change entirely. How you spend your money has to change entirely. How you budget has to change entirely. All this old stuff that you were doing is going to have to go. You are going to have to change your lifestyle, or you're going to be in big trouble. Like, we see the end. You're going to lose everything. You either got to change it all, or you're going to lose everything. See, oftentimes when he gives that advice, people try and make one or two changes instead of taking all of his advice and all of his counsel and getting rid of the old entirely. They just try and add one or two new things. And when that happens, everything they feared that was going to happen still happens. They lose the house, or they lose the car, or maybe they lose both and then some. Because they tried to hang on to the old when what they needed was something entirely new. Now, before I keep going here, I want to preface this by saying that this is not going to be like some self-help, like you on your own are going to get rid of the old and embrace the new and bring new things into your life. And it's all going to be in your own strength, because that is not the case. Because if it's up to you in your spiritual life to get rid of the old, then we're all in a lot of trouble, because we really can't. It's only through Jesus that we are able to get rid of the old and get the new. And in fact, if you try and wait, like, okay, I'm going to get my life right first. I'm going to get everything in order first. All these old things I've been dealing with, I'm going to get them straight first, and then I'm going to come to Jesus. It's not going to happen, because that's not how it works. It's those whose faith are in Jesus who have new life and can change and get rid of the old. But it's got to start with Jesus. I was part of the Navigators in college, and this is for Luke, whose family is heavily involved in the Navigators. If you don't know what the Navigators is, it's a parachurch organization that it focuses especially on college campuses and the military. And one of the things they do is they have you memorize scripture. And they have this system that's all these perforated little cards. Do you have one of these? Yeah, me too. All right. They have all these perforated little cards that you put in a little envelope that are scripture verses that you memorize. In the first week, they have you memorize two verses, and one of them is 2 Corinthians 5:17. So the first week, everybody who comes to the Navigators has this card, and it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away, and the new has come." And they have you memorize that because you have to realize that it all starts with Jesus. You don't fix things first. The old doesn't pass away first. You come to Jesus, He gives you new life, and the old passes away. It's a great verse. I obviously still have it memorized. I will probably have it memorized till the day I die because of the Navigators. But it's an important reminder that anybody who is in Christ, they are a new creation, and the old is passed away. So as we are talking about these things today, about getting rid of the old, realize that if you haven't come to faith in Jesus first, that you're not a new creation yet, and that you can't really get rid of that old. You're just going to keep the old. But if your faith is in Jesus, you are a new creation. And because of that, the old has passed away, and we can leave the old behind us. So what does it look like for us to leave the old behind us, to get rid of those old things? Say it changes what we have to get rid of, the old things we used to celebrate. So what was it in your life that was sinful that you used to celebrate? Because I think a lot of times what actually gets celebrated in our lives is sinful. I had a friend who he was known as, like, the thing he was known for, the thing he celebrated was drinking 40s. He had in college, in his house, it was like a typical college house, right? But there was a fireplace and a mantle above that fireplace. And he would drink a 40 and put it on that mantle. And then he would drink another 40 and he would put it on that mantle. And so imagine by the time junior year comes around, this mantle is full of 40s. And like, if you came over, that's what he celebrated. He'd be like, "Look at this! Look at what I have done. This is awesome, isn't it?" And his roommates knew him by that. Well, he came to faith in Jesus, and the old was done away with, and the new was there. And a couple weeks after he'd come to faith in Jesus, he went home and he took one of those industrial-sized garbage bags, and he starts taking them down one by one, saying, "This is not what I celebrate anymore." And his roommates, none of whom were Christians, were like, "Have you lost your mind? Like, I don't understand. You have been this. All these years we've known you, you have been this. That is what drove you. That's what you celebrated. And you're throwing it in the trash just like that." Like, you've been going to church like 3 weeks, and you're just throwing it all in the trash, giving it all away. Yeah, what I celebrate has changed. That is the old me. I do not celebrate those things anymore. I celebrate what Jesus has done for me. I can't keep living the old way. I'm getting rid of it. Sometimes it means changing who we associate with too. We have to say, "This is the old people that I used to hang out with, and I still love them. But when I'm with them, I do the old things. I want to fall back into the old ways." It was hard for me freshman year of college. I'd made this group of friends, but I also came to faith in Jesus freshman year. And I realized that when I was with these friends, the old things I did, those sinful things came back, the partying and all that went with it. And at the end of the year, I was going to move in with a couple of these guys. But the Holy Spirit really convicted me one day of the sin I was in when I was hanging out with them. And I went and I told my minister, all that I'd been doing, and I expected him to just be mad at me and furious, and instead he met me with grace, just as God had. But he said, look, you're thinking about moving in with these guys. Have you ever not done the wrong thing when you were with these guys? I said, no, every time I'm with them, I end up sinning. It's like, don't live with them. And this was like May of the end of the year, and we were all basically ready to sign a lease together, and I had to bail. I said, no, I'm sorry, guys. I still love you guys, but I cannot live with you guys because I just fall back into those things with you. I can't do it. And so if you look at my group of friends freshman year versus my group of friends sophomore year, junior year, senior year, two totally different groups because I had to let go of the old. I had to let go of the old. It's also, I would say, we have to get rid of the old way our heart was. Meaning that the old way we put ourselves in charge of what we wanted to think and what we wanted to do and what we thought was right. We said, we're going by our feelings, what I feel. This is how I feel. It must be what's right. Said, no, we've got to remove that. That's the old way. Like you hear people all the time in the world, follow your heart, man. Follow your heart. No, follow God's word. Follow the Holy Spirit. That's the old way of thinking. Get rid of that old way of thinking. Get rid of that. Know that God's word is truer than anything you are feeling. And if your heart is saying, no, this doesn't sound right, but it's in here, you got to change your heart. You've got to get rid of that old way of thinking where your feelings are what's primary. And say, no, it's the word of God that is primary. Today, I said earlier, we're doing baptisms. And I think it's especially fitting that we're doing baptisms on a day like today because of what baptism is. I want to read Romans 6. I want to read Romans 6, 2 through 6. It's not on the board, but if you wanted to turn your Bibles there, you can. If not, that's fine. I'm sorry, it's 3 through 6, by the way. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Did you hear that talk of the old and the new? That in baptism we are identifying with Christ's death, that our old body was crucified with Him, that we are buried, dead, gone, and that's the dunking, right? We're going to dunk some of you guys today. Dunking you down, identifying with that, and raising you up, identifying with the newness of life in Jesus. It's a beautiful picture, and like I said, I thought very fitting today. And those of you who are being baptized, or those of you who have been baptized, when the old starts to creep back into your life, when the old looks good, you can look back at that baptism and say, no, I've identified with Christ's death. The old is gone. The old was crucified. I've been risen to live a new life. Jesus did that ultimately, and we get to identify with that. It's beautiful. The old is gone. We can get rid of that old. We can embrace the new things that God has for us. New friends, new family, new life, new joys. New trials for sure, but now new strength to get through those trials, where we're not relying on our own strength, the old way of doing things, but instead we're relying on the Holy Spirit to get us through. All that old stuff gone. Think of the old. All the old that was bad, that hurt you, that brought you down. All the old harm you caused yourself, all of that old, gone, taken care of on the cross. And instead, new, a new life you can embrace where you're no longer, what did it say? You're no longer a slave to sin in the new life. You do not have to sin. You can do what God has called you to do. God brings you new giftings that you get to use to build up His church and be part of His kingdom. New that's not just new, but new that is better. I also want to call to those of you who have never placed your faith in Jesus. If you have never done that, if you are still living in the old, then repent of your sins. Come to faith in Jesus. Trust in Him to pay for your sins, in His death and in His resurrection, and receive new life.